Welcome to the Walking Through Time podcasts. There are plenty more to make your visit to New Norfolk more enjoyable.
Maybe you could start by telling us when you lived here.
Okay. Mum and Dad came here. Dad came as medical superintendent back in, 1935. I was 9 months old and we were here till 1946. And I was 11 when we left. I went to Hobart.
Who was your father?
Charles Brothers.
Charles Brothers. Yeah. So he was one of the medical...
Medical superintendent, yes.
Medical superintendents. Yeah. And the whole family. How many were there here in your family?
Well, Peter, he's my older brother. And he was 5 years older than I was. And I had a younger brother who was born here in New Norfolk. And he's now deceased too. And he was 3 years younger than me.
Yeah. And you kindly spotted out in one of our photos, there was your brother standing next to the pond.
That's Tony.
We never knew who that was.
Okay.
That was fantastic.
That's Tony.
Yeah.
And I think, Tony, you were named after Tony.
Is that true? Oh, fantastic.
Or he was named after you.
Tony was a little bit older than me.
Yeah, okay. So there you go.
Because
Mum and... Tony's mum were great friends.
Oh, nice.
And his dad too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, Margaret, maybe you could, I'm not sure where to start, maybe share some of your memory of what it was like to be in this house. When you lived here, this was a mental institution.
Well, yes. That being a child... The only part I ever saw was the administrative buildings. We were never taken into any of the hospital part of the place and never saw that, really. And we lived here. It was a lovely place, lovely garden, lovely home.
Mm.
And we had lots of fun. We're very happy kids being here.
Yeah.
And,
so you had quite a big area that you could roam around
in? Yes. And I'd be traipsing around with Mum and Dad in the garden, helping them. And I can probably remember quite a lot where things were planted.
Yeah.
And
Did you go down on the flats by the
river
as well?
Oh, well, we went down there, but it didn't belong to the house.
Oh, okay, by then it wasn't with the house.
There was a track down there. We had a chook shed down the track, down the side.
Yeah.
And we used to go wandering along the creek, of course, and round to the big walnut tree, which I believe is still there. They were lovely walnuts. As kids, we used to help ourselves.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
So did you have connection or any interaction with people that lived on site?
We were friends and used to visit. There was Dr. Williams and her mum. They lived in a house which is now demolished, and it's the car park just here.
Okay.
To the right.
Yeah.
And the crabs who were in the top house, near the gates, just inside the gate.
So this was other staff on
the side. Yes.
What about the...
Well, there was one little boy, I think, he was about Tony's age, and so they were mates. But as far as girls, there weren't, I don't think, from memory, no.
What about the patients?
Well, there were two patients that we had who helped here. The fellow used to help with the garden and chop the wood and do all the manage things. And we had a lass that used to come over and help my mum with the kitchen work and things like that in the house.
I heard you tell some ladies earlier that it was quite a restricted area in some ways to live.
Yes, I felt that way since. You know, at the time... It didn't really ring a bell, but now looking back, it was possibly a community thing where parents didn't allow their children to, enter the grounds of the mental hospital, And so I didn't have any friends to really visit. One or two, maybe, I had, Deirdre. She used to come, and I can't really remember that. Too many of them, but I had friends outside the place. But
so you went and visited your friends outside more than they really came in.
That's
here.
Right. That's right.
So somebody was talking about that, they had people at the gate, so you had to sort of
Yep.
Clock in and
check
out.
Check us in and out. Yeah.
Yeah. Really allowed in.
Yeah.
Without good reason.
Yeah. But that included the families as well.
Well, I don't know. We didn't have to go in or anything. They would just see us coming and going. And knew who we were.
Yeah.
So, no. But we'd go in there and have a little chat to them occasionally. There was something, nothing else better to do with that time.
Yeah. So you were allowed to walk around the whole place?
Yes. Had free roam. Except, as I say, we never went behind the walls.
Yeah.
Into the ward areas.
Yeah.
Some of them were open. There was a wire, or not a wire, a metal frame fence around some of the wards. You could see some of the patients.
Mm.
And we had free access to the football games around on the football ground.
Oh, that's fun.
So that was a bonus. And my younger brother, Tony, he and George Ackers from across the creek, his dad must have been... ward attendant, I don't know.
He was chief attendant.
Chief attendant.
Jack Ackers was chief attendant, yeah.
Yeah, well, they were friends, and they used to go fishing down there at the creek and lying on their tummies trying to catch fish.
Okay.
And they had a lot of fun. And they also got into trouble.
Do tell.
Oh, yes. There was a farmer who lived up the hill along past the sawmill. Do you know the sawmill?
Yes.
Yeah,
it's up the back up here.
Yes. Bourne Bank.
Yeah.
Up here. And there was a road that went along, and there was a farmer who lived along there with an apple orchard. And the boys knew when the apples were ready, you know.
Of course.
And, of course, they got sprung. And I don't know the farmer's name, but he used to come out with a shotgun, you know, and fire the shotgun. And the kids were scared to death. Yeah. And then if I ever walked, which I did, I walked out to Deirdre's place. It's about a 3 mile walk along a dirt road out to the Lachlan, where she lived. And if I heard a horse and trap coming, I'd duck behind the bushes there. I was a bit wary of him too by then.
Yeah.
But I'd walk all the way out there and you'd never see a soul.
Mm.
No cars, no nothing.
Mm.
And then getting back to cars and things, we were here during the war years. And I mentioned yesterday about the trapdoor in my parents' bedroom, which went down into a cellar.
Okay, was that in the corner?
Yeah,
in the corner.
In the bedroom.
Just looking at the whole.
Yeah.
So that was a little cellar down
that
there.
That was a
it's
cellar.
It's been speculated that was a tunnel.
Well, we tunnelled it through to the rest of the. Area which was under the old bathroom shower recess. I don't think it went any further than that.
Why did you do that?
Because of the war years. That was our air raid shelter.
Oh, okay.
And we had supplies and things down there. Not that it would have been any good probably, but that's what we did. My parents did anyway.
Yeah.
And of course during the war all the windows were blacked out and glass was covered with, you know, strips. So that if they were broken, that wouldn't.
What was it like here during that time?
Well, to us, it didn't really faze us because we were only quite young. I was only about 5 or 6.
Yeah.
And we just carried on as normal. But my dad, he was very interested in what was going on in the war. And he wasn't allowed to join up. He wanted to join. And they wouldn't let him. The government wouldn't let him. And several times
he was needed here.
Yeah, he was needed here.
Yeah.
And but anyway, he would listen to the news every night in his favourite chair, and he'd have a map on the wall behind him of Europe, and he had his pins, and he would pinpoint all the areas where the troops were advancing, and you know, in pushback and all the rest of it.
Oh.
So yes, we followed it like that. And I could see the searchlights. There were searchlights, I guess, coming from Brighton Camp. He'd go to Brighton Camp too. He looked after the return servicemen at Brighton and at Millbrook Rise. And that was his duty, instead of allowing him to go.
So what's it like now looking at the house?
It's sad seeing it as it is.
Yeah.
Because it was such a beautiful place. You've seen the photos.
Yeah, there's some gorgeous photos.
Yeah. And it was beautiful, and it was a lovely place to live.
So it was kept well when obviously your family looked after it, and you had help to look after it as well.
Yeah.
Because it's a big place.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, we loved it.
Mm. So there's been some rooms added as well since you were here?
Some of the rooms, the dining room behind here, that's been divided into half.
Yeah.
And so has the living room, that's been divided. They were two big rooms.
Mm.
And a few other little alterations, I think, with the bathroom situation.
Mm.
And another bedroom that was on here, this end, I think.
Mm.
And where are we? I can't remember where we are now. This is the forecourt, isn't it? You know, outside.
You've got the veranda at the back, the veranda's
the veranda
the,
at the back,
the side.
And this is the back part.
Mm.
Okay. And the kitchen came out further, I think it was, the laundry.
Okay.
And we had a tank stand behind. I've got photos of these, I can perhaps show you.
Yeah,
after.
No, I'd love to. Love to see your photos.
So things have been changed and things have taken down.
Do you remember the old grapevine?
I do.
We like to think that it's the oldest one in Australia, but do you think that's true?
Well, it's quite a possibility because it was here growing very well and hearty when we were here.
Mm.
But the grapes never ripened, did they? They were sours. Get out.
She didn't make wine.
No, no. But what I did wonder about, why did they pull the stables down? They were beautiful stables made of stone.
Mm.
And two stalls.
Where were they?
They were just on the corner.
Oh, they
here.
Were just on the little flaps, just there.
Just on the corner, as you come around the drive to right here, I think. I can't tell from this direction where I am right now.
So
you
got the hedge coming in there. The
yes,
driveway.
Yes.
Mm.
And that was really a great place to play too.
Mm.
Upstairs was the hayloft and the two horse mangers and the tack room.
So we're quite taken with the hedge.
Yeah.
And you know that now it's actually listed, heritage listed.
How about that?
Yeah, how about that?
Yeah. Yeah, lovely old hawthorns.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. So it's quite a bit of work to look after.
It is.
It's quite big.
It is. There's a lot of it. That's right.
So that was looking fine when your family was here. So that was used as a driveway?
Yes. The driveway goes right around the house and up this side.
Yeah, and it was actively used. Yeah.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But as I say, there weren't too many cars in those days.
Mm.
And I could see Dad coming home. He went to Hobart on Tuesdays, to the Royal Hobart, to work. And I could always tell when he was coming home because I'd see the car lights coming up the highway.
Okay,
from the living room.
Not too many lights.
No, no. I always knew Dad was on the way. He wasn't far away.
Mm.
Yeah. So you can't see the highway now, Billy, from the living room area.
So you had a good walk around the garden yesterday.
Mm, I did.
And of course you've seen the pond, and we were quite excited about finding that pond.
Dad built the pond.
Okay.
Yes.
So can you tell us what was in the middle of the pond?
In the middle of the pond, there was just I don't know if you'd call it a fountain, but it was like the shape of an upturned porridge bowl, you know, with a hole in the top, metal.
Was that water?
And water, yes.
There was
a tap. I'm sure there was no power to it.
Yeah.
I think it was just, he put his hand down into a hole somewhere around and turned a tap and the water recirculated around.
Okay.
Came out over there.
And you had plants growing around.
Water lilies in the pond, fish.
We'd like to get some water lilies back there.
Yes.
And maybe even some fish.
That's right.
Yeah. Did you have something covering the pond?
Nothing. No.
No, that was before the days where we had to worry about.
You don't have kookaburras here, do you? And water birds like that?
Oh,
do you?
Herons.
Do you?
Like that. Yeah.
Oh, no.
And there'll be some, you know, insurance for insurance purposes in case somebody should fall in or something.
Oh, well, yes. That's all changed.
There'll definitely be
it?
Something about
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Yes, you might have to have a fence around it.
Well, maybe some metal, what are we calling it? Some metal. Some wiring just lying above it.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes. So we'll have to do some nice planting to try and cover it.
Yeah.
So that was some.
That's a shame, isn't it?
It was a lovely surprise for us to find it. Well, not surprise. We knew that it was there somewhere. So we were quite excited to find it.
Oh, gosh. How many years had it not been attended to, I wonder?
Quite a few. Yeah. The periwinkles had taken over. We've been finding lots of bulbs, lots of things are coming up around the place. So it was quite a lot of flowers around the garden. Your dad really enjoyed the gardening?
Yes, the old-fashioned ones, I suppose. A lot of irises and roses.
So there was there a dedicated little rose garden? Or?
Well, there was a rose garden up through this hedge here towards the avenue. Mostly trees there, though, and this half-circular
rose bed. Sorry, Margaret, is that on the other side of the hedge you're talking about?
Yes, I am.
There was a rose garden.
Yeah, but she also had Iceland poppies up there, too. But that was about the only garden. I can't remember if there was a garden along the fence line. There possibly was, but I can't remember. Nondescript things along there somehow.
Well, you'll be pleased to know that we're thinking of re-establishing a rose garden. And we didn't know, we had been thinking about out at the front, and we didn't know that there actually was one. So thank you for sharing that.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, we'd like to get some of the old heritage varieties from around the valley.
That'd be great.
We might have to consult you again when we get a little bit closer.
Well, I don't know the exact ones, but I just know they're almost roses.
So who really looked after the garden? Was your mum and dad?
Mum and dad, with the help of male patient.
Because it would have been a lot of work.
Yeah.
It's a large garden. Just as I said, just looking after the hedge would have been
It was huge, yeah. I suppose he would spend a lot of time on that. But this fellow from the wards, he'd come over at about 7 o'clock in the morning. They'd let him out. Mm-hmm. And he'd bring over two chunks of bread, about that thick.
Mm-hmm.
And his first job was to light the stove. We had a wood stove in the kitchen and get that going, and that would be also heating our hot water. And he'd cook this bread on top of the stove.
Oh, okay.
Toast it.
Yeah.
And then when that was done, he'd come over to my bedroom window. And I'd be awake, of course. And he'd knock on the window. And pass, here you are, Missy. Missy. And every morning, I'd have this toast given to me at 7 o'clock. He was a nice old man.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah.
So he was sort of dedicated to your family?
He was always with your family
for all the years that you were here?
All that I can remember.
Yeah.
Yes. I don't know if he
passed away.
That would
have been a great help with the garden, if you have...
Oh, yes. And he also looked after the chooks down below.
Yeah, so that was down on the flats you had the
chooks? Just at the bottom of the hill. There was a chook shed.
The little bank?
Yeah.
The little bank here down...
Just in front of... from here to the right of the chestnut tree, in front of the chestnut tree.
Yeah,
tree here.
Yeah, so you had your own eggs and...
Yes.
So did you have did your family grow vegetables as well?
This is the story where we used to get a lot of our veggies from the farm, which was across the creek. Nicholson's farm it was too, another Nicholson. And that would come over and would put into a shed which was just over here. And us children would get to it first, and if there were pumpkins and swedes and turnips, they disappeared quickly. rolled down the track and into the creek.
That kind of disappeared.
That's kind of disappeared. Yes, because we didn't like that sort of veggies at that stage.
Well, not many that children
naughty.
Do.
So that was very naughty.
Yeah.
But my parents didn't wake up for a while. That's what we were doing. Mum would always ring up and say, I didn't get any pumpkins this week. So that was one naughty thing that we did do.
I'm sure there were a few others.
Probably.
Yeah.
knocking on a door somewhere and running.
Oh, rocking on the door, ringing doorbells. On the wall around the corner, there was a door into the wards or somewhere it went. It had a bell on it. And us kids would be coming home through there from somewhere, and we'd press the doorbell and run like hell. Just in case someone came and opened to see who was at the door.
Very good.
But it was us being naughty again.
Yeah.
Mm. Mum was very keen on helping with the war effort. Mm. And she was heavily involved with the Comforts Fund. And they would be making nets, camouflage nets, and making all sorts of things.
Mm.
Sending food packages and clothing packages to England and all this sort of thing during the war. So she was quite a busy lady those days.
It sounds like it was a lovely place to grow up.
It was.
Yeah.
We were happy and it was a lovely home.
Yeah, there's a lot of sad stories from the place. So it's wonderful to hear some nice stories from you.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah,
well, I remember it as a happy place and,
yeah.
You know, it wasn't sad for me here.
Yeah.
It was a happy place.
The Walking Through Time project has been made possible through the assistance of the Australian Government's Your Community Heritage Program and funding from the Derwent Valley Council. We would like to thank the many members of the public who have given freely of their thoughts and memories to make this project a success.